for those who are interested, we have a Levadik Shavuos over here tonight. We'll learn the night away. Not Maral, but other sugis, huh?
I was going to ask that. Maral the whole night.
It's not Maral the whole night. There's
no, Malach
something left.
You want Malach at the end of the night.
Yeah, well, we still do become a Malach at the end of the night. A sleeping Malach. You're like a Malach when you sleep, you know. You ever hear that before?
Like Blue Bear with one eye open, one eye closed.
Okay. Well, we're going to do Perek Chaf. Which is where we're up to. And the Perek Chaf, he's continuing here on this issue of Eilam HaZeh, Eilam HaBeh, of Yisrael in this world, and the fact that Yisrael don't seem to be always in such a glorious position in this world, whereas the rest of the world seems to oftentimes have it better. And so we have this question: if Klal Yisrael is what it's all about, if Klal Yisrael is, you know, centerpiece, ground zero of the Bria, purpose of the Bria, so connected to Hashem Yisbarach, so why is it that Klal Yisrael doesn't have it all so well? Why is it that Klal Yisrael finds itself struggling so significantly within this world? And we've already had a couple of different approaches which he has used in order to explain this, and here he adds another aspect to the picture. And the aspect which he adds to the picture here is based on the following thing which he describes, which is a simple sort of a philosophical construct which you find in the Rishonim and amongst the philosophers in a general sense, and he's applying it over here in its expression vis-a-vis the Bnei Yisrael. We believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a Gashmi, that Hashem is not physical. The Rambam perhaps emphasized this more than any other of the principles of belief about the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Rambam emphasized the incorporeality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not physical. Others didn't emphasize it nearly as much. The Ravid, of course, famously asked on the Rambam, you know, there were many people who were great people who believed in some physicality of the Ribbono Shel Olam because of the language of the Torah, because of the language of Chazal, where they spoke about these things, right? So, you know, why is the Rambam saying such a big deal? Like the Rambam says, a person who believes in the physicality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ein L'Chelek L'Olam Haba. So the Rambam emphasizes it tremendously. And that was where Reb Chaim Brisker famously said in response to the Ravid's question that Nebuchadnezzar Apikiris is Eichon Apikiris. He said that, you know, if a person is, for understandable reasons, you know, tragically not believing, so, but L'maisa, they're not believing. That was what Reb Chaim said to answer the Ravid's question when the Ravid said, but there are so many fine people who believe it, you know, so got confused by what the Pesukim said. But the Rambam emphasized it so much. And in fact, the main purpose of the Meir Nevuchim, the Rambam's favorite, famous separate work, The Guide for the Perplexed, was in order to explain the many places in the Torah and in Chazal where you find expressions about Hashem which imply physicality. And he explains them all, that they are, you know, that that's not the case, that it's whatever, anthropomorphic, and it doesn't really mean it the way it sounds. So the Rambam considered that very significant. What's the issue? Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu impossible to be seen as being a physical being? So the way the Rambam himself expresses it in the beginning of Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah is that anything which is physical has a gvul, has an end. Has an end point, has a point where it stops. This table doesn't just keep going and going and going. It starts here and it ends over there. That's the nature of things which are physical. And therefore, being that our belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is such that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just without boundaries, what we refer to him as, you know, in Kabbalistic terms, he's always referred to as the Ein Sof, right? The infinite, the Amne, whatever you want to put on the end of that, right? He's, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just everywhere, and not limited thing. A physical thing can't be that way. A physical thing is going to be limited to a certain space, to a certain place, to a certain time as well. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu must transcend the realm of the physical in order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be so broad and to be so all-encompassing. But anything which is physical has a gvul. It has a limitation. It has a limitation. And I'd like to say over, not infrequently, it's relevant also for the Yom Tov of Matan Torah, the famous word from the Balatanya. The Balatanya explained when the person came to Hillel and wanted to convert while standing on one foot. So he said that taught him basically v'havta l'reacha kamecha, and everything else is commentary. So what's the pshat? You know, v'havta l'reacha kamecha might be the perfect synopsis of the bein adam l'chaveiro mitzvahs. Where does it come to explain the religious obligations, the bein adam l'makom? And there are different pshat. And Baal Tanya says like this. He says that the whole nature of the Torah is for a person to be having their spirituality dominate rather than their physicality. Right? In our lives, we're created guf and neshama, physical and spiritual. That's the flashpoint of bechira, free choice. And we're supposed to be identifying ourselves, to be driven by our spiritual nature rather than by our physical nature. Says the Baal Tanya, our physical nature has gevulim, it has boundaries. There's me and there's you, and we're separate from each other. I stop here and you start over there. Right? We're therefore separate from each other, and in the physical sense, how can you have a hafta l'reacha kamecha? How can you have you love your fellow man like yourself? I'm me and you are you. We're separate from each other. But in the world of ruchnius, in the world of the spirit, there are no boundaries. In the world of ruchnius, right, what's ruchnius? What's the term ruchnius? Ruchnius is wind, right? Right, air. The air of ruach. Right? So can you speak about this piece of air versus the one on that side of the room? It doesn't know boundaries, right? It's all seamless, connected. But you speak about this table versus that table, right? So therefore, as bodies, we are separate from each other. As spiritual beings, as souls, we are not. Says the Baal HaTanya, the whole Torah is about making the spiritual dominate. And v'havta l'reacha kamecha is about saying that there are no boundaries between us, which means that the spiritual dominates. So it all revolves around the same thing. It's all part of the same notion. When a person makes that the dominant force within themselves is the force of the spirit, then we become like one. And I say it's relevant for Shavuos especially because what happened on Shavuos was Kol Yisrael went back to being like Adam HaRishon in Gan Eden. By Adam HaRishon in Gan Eden, what was it? All of humankind was one person. What does it say by Matan Torah? Like one person. Because when they stood there, Har Sinai was like in Gan Eden, the spiritual was so dominant that they melted again into one. Even though physically they were separate from each other, they melted into one. Anything which is physical has a gvul, has an end. Now, when we've been talking about this, we've been talking about this in simple dimensional issues. This table starts at a certain point on this side of the room and ends at another point on the other side of the room. But there's something else called a gvul. And that's a gvul which is a peak. A peak. Something which goes to a certain point and then it stops. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not just that He transcends every place. But Hashem doesn't have, you know, oh, those were the good days for Hashem, and those were the bad days for Hashem, or, you know, the rise and fall of the Lord. You know, it doesn't, you know, maybe relative to this world, we speak of such things. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hayo HaYaviyah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a constant. There's no such thing as Him, Le'olenu, going up and going down. So that's also an aspect of physical things that have boundaries. Physical things have a point where they peak. In regarding physical things, we have the pasuk which the Maral quotes, which is a famous pasuk in Mishle, which is used very, very much in many places by Chazal, by the Sforim, which is Lifnei Shever Gaon. What does that mean? Before the fall, the greatest heights. In other words, things tend to crest, things tend to peak, and then come down. And he says that's the characteristic of physical things. They go, they go, they go, they go, they go, and then they hit the top of the hill, and then they are what we call over it, right? Over the hill, right? That's this idea of Lifnei Shever going, of that something, right now there's more to it, they say. Mamish reaches its highest point before it, you know, kaboom, while the bottom falls out of it. You know, it's not necessarily going to be so gradual in certain things, it's not so gradual in other things. It is more gradual. A human being, in his existence, a human being rises, gets stronger, and then, right, starts to fade a little bit as a physical being. This is the nature of things, that they come to some kind of a high point, they peak, and then they start, then they begin to falter. So, step one in this is that when we look in this world and we see the Umay Sa'ilam thriving, and we see the Bnei Yisrael not so significantly thriving, says the Maharal, recognize that that is a feature of the fact that if they're thriving here, if they're reaching their high point here, then this is it. They're climaxing here, and then from here it's going to be downhill all the way. Whereas with the Bnei Yisrael, who aren't reaching their peak over here, that means that their ga'in, their greatness, is going to be achieved in a different place, in a better place, in a higher place, where the greatness is that much more significant, where it's that much more substantial, where it's going to be that much more meaningful. And therefore, in a certain sense, we would rather prefer a later peak. That's on one level. But on another level, what we of course want, we would all say, is that we shouldn't just peak and fall, but we want to have a perpetual peak. In other words, we would reach that summit and stay there. Mi yaleh bahar Hashem, umi yakum bimkayim kodshoy. And who will arise onto the mountain of Hashem, and who will stand, you know, plant the flag on his holy place and stay there. That's ultimately what we want. So let's take a look for a moment at the Medrash, which the Maharal uses in this piece. And I pointed out to you, I think Rabbi Hartman pointed out as well, pointed out when he was here with us, right? How, you know, typical the Maharal, he starts off with a Mamar Chazal. Etreperik starts with a Mamar Chazal, and then he takes it apart here. He deviates from that a little bit. He starts with this little sort of a general overview. Physical things have limits, have ends, right? And then he brings the Chazal. But let's listen to the Chazal. Chazal is a Medrash Tanchuma, Medrash Rabba, Medrash Tanchuma Vayete, Medrash Rabba and Emor, Rabbi Barachia B'Shem Rabbi Meir. It's a couple of paragraphs in, if you're using the Hartman edition, Tof Lamed Hey, first column. Eilu Dvorim Biru Chachamim V'Gilu Lano. Is that? Yeah. But it's not right there. It's going to be somewhere. Yeah, here it is. I'm sorry. Okay, Eilu Dvorim. It doesn't start a new paragraph, actually. He has the paragraphs differently. In the classic edition, it starts with Kasher Tavin Dvarim Meir. So Eilu Dvarim Biru Chacham Megillah No Divrei Chacham Ad Bemedrash Tanchuma Medrash Rab Parashat Tanchuma Rab Rachi B'Shem Rabbi Meir Malamit Shehreha Kodesh Baruch Hu LeYakov Sar Shel Bavel Oil V'Yari. This is going by the dream of the ladder. Kodesh Baruch Hu showed Yaakov Avinu the angel of Bavel rising and falling. Shel Modai Oil V'Yari of Modai rising and falling. Shel Yavan Oil V'Yari of Yavan of Greece. Rising and falling. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yaakov. Hashem said to Yaakov, Yaakov, Afata Alei, you climb also. Yaakov Avinu Amar. Yaakov Avinu was afraid. And he said, Shema Taimar, maybe you will say, Shema Amar Taimar, Kashem Shiyesh Le Yirida Le Elu, Kachiyesh Le Yirida. The same day these guys went up and came down. So too, I'm going to go up, and then I'm going to come down too. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael Al Tira. Don't be afraid. Imata Oila Ein Lecha Yerida. If you go up, you ain't coming down. V'loy Hemin V'loy Ola. But Yaakov didn't trust, and he didn't go up. Chozois Chatuayit V'loy Hemin B'chol Niflaisav. So the Gemara brings a pasuk in Tehillim from one of those kapitlach which give like a historical account. Right. They nevertheless they sinned. They didn't trust Hashem's miracles. They Yaakovin and Shleihemin v'leila. He didn't trust and didn't go up. Amar LeHaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem said to him, "Ilu amanta v'ha'alisa v'alisa. Had you believed, had you trusted and gone up, lehayelcha yirida ilamis. You never would have come down. Asho Shleihemanta v'le'alisa. Now that you didn't trust and you didn't go up, yibanecha meshubadim edal machias be'lam hazeh. Your children will suffer these four kingdoms in this world, the masim, barnuniyos, the gulgalos, with all kinds of taxes." And other forms of oppression. Yochel Olam. Oh, so I would think, now we really cooked. We gave it up forever. Don't be afraid. I'll take you from Galia, from Aspamia, from Chavrusel. I'll finish off all the nations, but you, I will not finish off. Umas Olam, Shemechalim Sodeseyem. The nations of the world that when they harvest their fields, they harvest it from beginning to end. I'll finish them off. Al Yisrael she'ein mechal in tzadei seyem, but the Jewish people don't finish off their fields. As it says, l'yisachal pasadcha b'kutzrecha, don't finish off the harvesting of your fields. So you, v'yisarticha b'mishpat, v'yisurim b'el mazal, you'll suffer in this world, but in the world to come, l'kedein l'nakais l'el mabo, you'll be clean and ready to go in the world to come. Okay, that's it. So listen to that. The nations of the world rise, and the nations of the world fall. Yaakov Inu sees this. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you know, Yaakov, go ahead, go up. Yaakov says, I'm also going to rise and fall. He says, no, you're going to go, and you're going to stay there. Yaakov was not comfortable. He was not secure. He wasn't ready to go up. Because he wasn't ready to go up, so therefore we have suffered under all of these other kingdoms, says the Gemara. We have suffered under all of these kingdoms, but we haven't lost it forever. In Olam Haba, again, we will be able to have it. That's what it says, and the Makar, interestingly, or the Pasuk which is brought to sort of close the deal is, because I will finish off all of the nations of the world, I will not finish you off, because when you harvest, you don't finish things off. Okay, so here we have Shavuos connection number one. Why? Because in the Torah, in the Chumash,
Where's this pasuk
about not finishing off your field, you know? Okay, you don't have to know. You should know, but you don't have to know. It's in Parshas Emor. Oh, there you go, very good. In Parshas Emor, in the following paragraph, okay, the Parsha says, Svartem lachem mimachar tashabas mimayim haviyachem esemer atenuva sheva shabbos esfim estiyan. Does that sound a little familiar? Right? Until Shavuos, then you bring the shtei alechem and so on and this. Ukrasim etzayim azem mikor shielachem kum lachas v'das asuch ukasim chom sheisachem l'yerseichem. This is Parshas Emor, Parshas Hamayadim. Tells about all the yomim taivim, right? And we have Svira here and we have Shavuos, and the next paragraph is going to be about Rosh Hashanah, but at the end of Shavuos it has one pasuk. When you harvest the harvest of your fields, do not finish off the end of your fields. Don't take leke, don't pick up the loose strands. Leave it for the poor and for the stranger, the unfamiliar. I am Hashem your God. What's this pasuk doing here in the middle of the whole series of discussions about the Mayadin? Right, so Rashi brings the question. Amar Rav Avdim Rav Yosef, Lama Mara Kosel Itnu Memtzar Regolim Pesach Atzeres Mikan Rishin Mikur Mikan Chesed Chay Mikan Lamedcha Shekal Anaisin Leikat Shikhu Peiloni Kuroi Malav Kilu Bana Beis Hamikdash Yerel Kavanas Pesach. If you give Leikat Shikha, it's as if you build the Beis Hamikdash and brought Korbanas. Okay, interesting.
If you
give Peya Leikat Shikha properly, it's as if you did all these Meadim, etc. Don't there's a morale in this rush. The Levush, the contemporary of the Shulchan Aruch, wrote a parallel thing. The Levush says that why does it say it here? This is a remez that on Shavuos we read Megillas Rus, because the whole story of Megillas Rus is about, I mean not the whole story, but a lot of the central theme is Boaz providing for Rus, Lani v'lager, right? She was both an Ani and a Ger, an Aniya and a Geiris, and leaving her the Peah and the Leket, right, that she was going to be able to collect after the Kaitzim. Here it is in the paragraph about Shavuos, right? Beautiful, beautiful remez that we have here. But obviously this mitzvah is connected somehow to Shavuos, to Matan Torah. Here, the Chazal are very enigmatically saying, oh, you don't finish off your fields, I'm not going to finish you off. You know, like, what does that mean? So you start to, you know, the richness of what Rashi says. Oh, it's as if you built a Beis Hamikdash and so on. So let's look at this a little bit here. So first, to the Maral here. Baruch Ato Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyah B'Dvaro. Amen. Four Malchias, the Maral says, first, just, you know, for consideration, is that You know, four, we've discussed many times, are the four ktsavos, they're the four corners, the four edges. And the whole theme the Maharal is developing over here is that physical things have their edges, that they come to a point and then they end, just like this table. Any material thing, it comes to its point and it ends. And that's the Arba Malchiyos, representing, so to speak, the four corners, the edges. Klal Yisrael is supposed to be Goy Echad Bo'aretz. Klal Yisrael is supposed to be one. Remember how we started learning the Netzach Yisrael, where he spoke about Golos is with a hey. Excuse me, Gola is with a hey. The Jewish people spread in the four corners, but still at the core one. Goal is with an Aleph. Right, the same Gal, but with an Aleph, because then they come together mamish as one. They come together as one, a single point, really in a certain sense, you know, has no divisions, has no separations. You can't point this part and that and not that part. There's a certain, you know, no end to it, as opposed to the Arba, which is the ends. And this is the Arba Goliyos, and this Chazal are expressing this idea that they reach a certain peak, they go up, but then they come down. And Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yaakov Avinu, to the extent that you did not, you were reticent to climb the ladder, that you didn't trust and climb the ladder, that to that extent you also will not experience, you'll be subject to them. Klal Yisrael will not be in a state of constant peak. Now, we're not going to dwell so much on the Yaakov Avinu part, we've talked about it before, so I'm just going to give you shorthand. You'll recall a little bit of what we spoke about before. Where do we find Yaakov being hesitant? Right? Yaakov Avinu was not ready necessarily to be kaina olam hazeh. Right? The brachos of v'yitein lecha, the material blessings of this world, he figured this was more Esav's place. He thought that if he would grab something within this physical world, it would be a similar connection. It would still be very much within the physical world. It wouldn't be that if he would grab the physical world, he would bring Hashem into this physical world to such an extent that he would never fall again. This world is still this world. It's this material world. Will I be able to bring Hashem in here so completely? Yaakov had the crystal clear view of how different Hashem was from this world, right? From the material things in this world, and he wasn't necessarily there at bridging them, at fusing them. And that, presumably, is Yaakov Avinu's hesitation here. He wasn't able to necessarily completely and totally embrace it. He still bowed down to Esav within this world. So he figured that if he would climb in this world, he would also end up falling in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, there is a possibility, and you missed it. You missed the opportunity of bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu completely into this world. You'll still have it, but we're going to have to go through all of these things in this world. Your children will go through all of the suffering in this world because this world is remaining. As a result of that hesitation, it's remaining an Alma D'Shikra. It's remaining a false world where the physical will rise and will fall, will thrive and will fail. That's the way it's going to be. In the end, don't worry. You're going to rise and you're not going to fall, at least in the Eilam Haba. Now, let's look at this a little bit more. And he says, so Maral emphasizes, had he trusted in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, had he attached himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the thing is that when you latch onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you're in that world of the spirit that never falls. That just, you've risen up there and it will never fall. Let's look at another expression of this very, very basic idea. You know, this idea of rising and falling is the idea which Shlomo HaMelech wrote a book about. It was called Kehelis. Right? The Sefer Kehelis is about how everything comes and goes, rises and falls. Things thrive and they get so excited and let's party and, you know, enjoy, but they don't realize that in the end it's going to just disappear. Right? Saiv Davar HaKol Nishma. Right? Right? The rivers go to the sea and the sea never gets filled up. You know, this sort of futility? No, he's describing the cyclical nature of the material world. The things come and things go, things rise and things fall. There's not eternity there. And of course, the first description of that, of Sefer Kohelis, is found in the Chumash, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Adam HaRishon after he sins, he says to him, Ki Afarata, Be'alafar Tashas, you came from the dust, and you're going to return to the dust. You may not feel like dust right now. You may be alive, vibrant, human being, tall, strong, etc. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, until you go back to the ground, because you came from there, and you're doomed to end up back there. You'll peak, and then you will shrivel, you will weaken, and you're going to go back there. That's the way it is. That's the nature of what's supposed to happen to man. Now tell me something. Was it always supposed to be this way? The pasuk surrounds it with an air of inevitability. So you go back to the ground because, come on, you were taken from there. You came from the dust, you go back to the dust. Could it be any other way? I mean, the way the pasuk makes it sound, you know, this is just the way it is. You know, you take water, you put it in the freezer, you make it into ice cubes, you take it out of the freezer, it'll end up being water again. I don't know, maybe it'll end up being vapor again. Right? It comes back to where everything goes back to where it came from. There's an air of inevitability here. But on the other hand, we know that's not the case. Chazal teach us very clearly that Adam HaRishon, had he not eaten from the Eitz HaDaas, he would have lived forever. What happened to the fact that he came from the dust? Why wasn't he bound to return to the dust? In fact, the Ramban, when he writes about this thing between the scientists and the Chazal, right, he says, look, it says, Afar Atav El Afar Toshav. It sounds inevitable. That's what the scientists say. Even if Adam HaRishon hadn't eaten from the Eitz HaDaas, he would have had to die. Afar Atav El Afar Toshav. What's the response to that, as Ramban explains in his own words, and as we'll explain, especially using the thing in the Maral. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we did come from the dust. And Hashem blew into that dust a neshama. And to the extent that we allowed the neshama to completely take over the body, so then that inevitability disappears. That's like climbing the ladder, trusting Hashem, attaching yourself to Hashem to climb the ladder, and then you don't fall. Well, when Adam HaRishon went after his guf and allowed his body to become a dominant force in his life, dictating to him what he would eat, even against the command of Hashem, turning away from Hashem to follow after the dictates of his body, then he defined his body as being very, very significant within his life. And if his body is significant within his life, then he goes by the rules of bodies. And bodies have ends. Just like bodies have fingertips, bodies also have life tips. Right, there's a point in life where you peak and where it ends, just like we said at the beginning. Right, when we speak about physicality having a defined end, it's in space, it's also going to be in trajectory, in time, in the way things go. And therefore, Adam HaRishon is told now that you're going to peak and you're going to fail. And in truth, if you look at all of the clothes that Adam HaRishon and Chava were given, it's all about that. Instead of being on this constant high, constant productivity, Chava has to go through this whole process of producing a child. That's mamish, this idea that, you know, it's a physical thing, it grows slowly, 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 it peaks, right? Boom. She has the baby, then she can't have a baby again for a little while, right? She loses it all. That's the tumas yeledes, right? A man produces his seed, and then he's spent, loses it all. It's not constant. It's not constant. Things rise and they fall. And in the world of the spirit, that doesn't happen. In the world of the spirit, Chazal say the trees produce, even the trees which we call today barren trees, fruitless trees, ilonei srak, shade trees, will produce the most magnificent things, right? They'll produce rolls and silk garments every day. In other words, it's not going to be this kind of a cycle. You'll toil, you'll work the ground, try to get it to produce, and it'll go through a whole seasonal thing where it will rise and it will fall. Right? That's when we read Koheles. We read Koheles when? The end of the summer. When everything's getting ready to sort of shrivel up and hibernate. That's the Megillah of Death, of Sukkot. Tkufas Hashanah. It's the end of the year. Right? Rise and fall. The end of the season. It doesn't have to be that way. Last night we said Kiddush Levana. That we pray for the day when Hashem will fill the crevice of the moon, and will be lacking nothing. Its light will be like the light of the sun. Why? Because the moon is symbolic of the rise and the fall. In this physical world, things rise and things fall. Right? The Goyim go after the sun. They want to think, you know, always going to be full. This is going to be the way it is. But we're very, very keenly aware of our position in this world. Things go up and things go down. The Olam Haba, when we attach ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it goes up and it stays up. It goes up and it stays up. So now, a couple of things to consider as we go ahead here. It's a very interesting thing. Count seven. The seventh is holy. Then count seven again and again and again, seven times, 49, and then the 50th is holy. We find the cycle. Where? Yovel. Where else? Sphere, right? Today's the 49th day of the Omer. Tonight is the 50th. Let's say that. Could have said it yesterday. But at this time of day. But you know, tonight is the 50th. What's the difference between Yovel, the 49th to the 50th, and Shavuos, the 49th to the 50th? Many, many things in common. What's the difference? What happens when Yovel finishes? Go back again and start counting number one. What happens when Shavuos finishes? It's finished. Wait till next year, right? You're not going to do it again. As far as you're concerned, the 50th, this is it. When Klal Yisrael went up onto Har Sinai, it was like the same offer to Yaakov Avinu, like Gan Eden, where the attachment to Hashem was supposed to be, you're up there, you plateau. You know, in the world, we use the term to plateau as a negative thing, because we know once you plateau, right, you're going to start plateauing all the way. You know, you're gonna, the bottom will lay and give out on the person. But when we, the idea of Miyala Bahar Hashem Umi Yakum Bimkaim Kachai is to just stay up there and to not to forsake the Madrega. That's what was supposed to happen at Shavuos. That was the idea. We were supposed to attach ourselves to Hashem. That's why it says at Har Sinai we became immortal again. We were going to break out of this cycle of rises and falls. And then what happened? Klal Yisrael came to Hashem right after Maman Har Sinai, and they said, we can't handle it. We got to go back to normal life. If we had believed. It's very interesting, the term belief, right? Maral speaks about it himself, but you find it, you know, emuna is what the Gemara speaks about when it speaks about Nasa V'Nishma. Nasa V'Nishma is something which is said with emuna, with faith. Tumas Yisharim Tanchem, Anan Saginan, Saginan Behenusa. Right, to attach ourselves to Hashem. So we say Nasakai Lishan, we become like the angels. That was what brought us up to Har Sinai. Right? But then we went up to Maisha and we said to Maisha, you know, this is too difficult. You go hear it and tell it to us Vinishma Isa Vinasena. And then we'll hear it and we'll do Nishma Vinasa. Right, the Gra points out. They reverse Nasa Vinishma. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Lechem or lechem, go tell them, shuvu lachem lo lechem. They should go back to their tents. In other words, go back from Har Sinai. Yata, but you, poya mighty mother, you stay here with me. Moshe Rabbeinu, stay there. And Moshe Rabbeinu, therefore, his spirituality conquered his physicality. According to one opinion of Chazal, those who are learning Daf Hayomi, yesterday's Daf, 2 days ago's Daf, right? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't die. Right, even though it says Vayomashar Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu walked onto Har Sinai, and he walked out for this world. He plateaued in the Elam Haba, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu assures us and promises us that don't worry. Okay, look, in this world, this go round, you know, we have plenty of downs, plenty of downs, but in the Elam Haba, there we're going to indeed rise and be able to stay there. And be able to stay there and maintain firmly that position. Not stuck to Afar Atav El Afar Tashuv, we're from the dust, and we're going to return to the dust. That's what we're supposed to try, in a certain sense, to be able to achieve, because that's the attachment to spirituality, is such that it doesn't wane. Only because our attachment is incomplete, we have our peaks where we get really excited and really spiritual, and then we fail. You know, the Volba famously said that, you know, we go, we have Pesach, and the excitement of the Seder, and then we count down to Shavuos, to Matan Torah, we build up week, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, you know, like all the way up, and all night we stay up Shavuos in anticipation of receiving the Torah and the Mamash high, and then we go to sleep until Rosh Hashanah. you know, the picture that the Torah gave us of Shavuos is very, very, very subject to two interpretations. On the one hand, it's that picture that Rav Volba just said, which is, we went to Matan Torah, and then the morning after Matan Torah, what did we say? We said, Moshe Rabbeinu, this is too much for us. We can't stay here anymore. You go up. Moshe Rabbeinu went up. He was having the most intense spiritual experience of all time, up there on Har Sinai, learning Torah, and we were down here. What were we doing? Playing backgammon. And, you know, like, what were we doing? We said, you know, this is too intense for us. We took off. So Shavuos ended. What's the avoda after Shavuos? Okay, so now you wait for the Egel. You know, you wait for Shavuos HaBetamos. Right? We just sit and do nothing until Shavuos HaBetamos, and then, ooh, boy, we didn't realize how lost we had become. Right? And, you know, and then, okay, we'll start building up again. You know, Rosh Chodesh Elul started the last 40 days, the giving the Torah again. We wake up and we start building up again. That's one view of it, a historically accurate view, which to a certain degree expresses itself in our own lives. We can get ourselves all excited and reach a certain climax, and then we are spiritually spent, and we go back. On the other hand, there is the other view, which is Shavuos, as Matan Torah Seinu. Right, that original, it's the celebration of that original Matan Torah. You know, the Gemara says, Luchais, Veshivei Luchais, Unachim Ba'arayim. Even though the broken Luchais would symbolize a break, we still have them. Still have them. Futner used to talk about it. Always this idea that, Veshivei Luchais, Unachim Ba'arayim, the Gemara says, this tells you that even a person who's old and forgot their learning, you still treat them with respect. And he said, regarding the Luchais Rishonis, we may have forgotten them. They may have been broken. We can't read the words anymore. But Kol Yisrael still has an aspect of Luchais Rishonis. And in Luchais Rishonis, Hashem spoke to all of us. Not like Luchais Shniyos, where Hashem only spoke to Moshe. Hashem spoke to all of us. And all of us ascended. And therefore, to some degree, all of us are supposed to have the Pei Amidi Madi. That's the original picture. And maybe that's a way to view Shavuos. 49 days, 50th day, and then... Right, the 50th day just keeps going, just like by Bris Mila. You know, you get the Bris on the 8th right at the end, and it's now with you, Mibet and Lashimcha, from the beginning to the end. They're going to be Heimani Milan. They carry with them the Bris. You're supposed to achieve something and have it and maintain it, because in a spiritual world things don't crest and fall. It's such an irony that we view it the opposite. We say in our spiritual worlds we go like a bad heart rhythm, you know, just jumping up and jumping down. How we get to feel spiritual, and then we fail. It's to the extent that we're still saying, ugh, we can't do it, we're physical. To the extent that we truly are going to be able to lock into the spiritual, it's mamshich, it stays. It has moved out. So we come back to the first Shavuos connection. And the first Shavuos connection is Leisachala Pasacha B'Kutrecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Yaakov, so he says, well, maybe I'm also going to fall. Maybe in the world to come. He says, no, you're not going to fall in the world to come, because you are the people. They finish off their fields. You don't finish off your fields. The idea is that if your life is about the material, so then you want to grab every bit of it that you can. Every bit of it that you can. But if your life is not about the material, so the material is Eichi Timtza. The tachlis, the purpose, the end, is not in the material. The end is in the spiritual, is in giving to Hashem. We don't take the end of it for ourselves, because we don't want this to be the end. Right? In a certain sense, by Klal Yisrael saying, we never go to the end in our fields, the end of our fields is the spiritual, is a way of articulating, which is what is this whole principle that Maral has been establishing in this parak, which is why he makes it this way. Maral says, when you see things peak in this world, it's because this world is where they are, and that's why they reach their climax, their high point in this world. But we don't. We don't finish things in this world. We view this world as the prisoner, as the entryway to the Olam Haba. And so our end, the end of our field, we give Lashem. That's the payah. The person who leaves payah from his field, it's like he built the Beis HaMikdash and he brought Karbanos. You know, it's that person is making his reality in this world, the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the beginning of it. And so to speak, the end of it. Right? That's where it's supposed to appear for us. Somehow in this payah. Shavuos, we read the story of Rus, and the person like not trying to do it. You know, isn't Shavuos in a certain sense the story? I'm sorry, isn't Rus the story of the peak? There was a man from Beis Lechem Yehuda, and his name was Elimelech. Right? He was royalty. He and his children, they were great. Mamish. And then they left Eretz Yisrael. Why? There was a famine in the land. They left Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because too much pressure. They were leaders. People wanted them to give to the poor. They didn't want to give to the poor. They didn't want to have this intense pressure. And what happened? They peaked and they fell. He died. His children died. Lo aleinu. He lost all of his wealth. Why? Because he didn't do the payah. If the end, if your high point isn't this world, it's the tzedakah that you give. It's the, you know, mal v'Hashem chayin and dal, giving tzedakah is like giving to Hashem because Hashem takes care of the poor. And you're doing his work. Right? When you do that, so then you stay high. Aser b'shvil shetisasher. You know, you give away your miser, then you'll keep your money. Right? That's the idea. You have to spiritualize it. If you're hoarding it, then this world is where it's at. You're trying to keep it all for now. And then you're subject. Then the person is subject to the notion of this world, which is that things peak and then they fall. Krenalinami. And Rus, who quote-unquote fell from being a princess, right, to becoming a widowed, bereaved pauper, right? But she, with chesed, she tells us, Nami, and what does she have? She gives birth to Mashiach, the ultimate climax, one that will never end. That's payah. What you leave for the end is very, very, very definitive. Very, very self-descriptive, what you leave for the end. What you leave for the end. What you consider, there it is. We have to be very, very conscious of what the end is. Right? We can have flitting relationships with the spiritual. We go up to our Sinai for a little bit, but then don't worry, we're headed back home. We're going to be back here. To make that home, the Atopay Amadi Modi, is to make it stick. Because when we can root ourselves in it, with the Amuna, and Bahashem, we can root ourselves in it, then we plateau in a great way of Mi'ala Bahashem, Mi'okhim and Pankosha. Easier said than done. Easier said than done. Easier said than done. Maral says, his closing comment on this parak is, the last two words of the name which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to the Jewish people, last two letters of the name Yisrael, is Kel. Because that symbolizes that the end of Klal Yisrael is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when it's with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it always stays high. Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't put his name at the beginning of the name of Klal Yisrael, he put it at the name at the end of the Klal Yisrael. That's Saif Davar HaKel Nishma. Saif Davar HaKel Nishma. Nasa Benishma. Ikdimu Nasa Benishma. Okay. Should be zeichet a true, lasting Shavuos.
Yantav.
Good Yantav, good Yantav. And folks, as I said in Shul to Shabbos, I said, you know, I teach all night, so I think always when it's going to be Sunday, that you know, people will be a little bit more rested. And it's remarkably not true. When it's Sunday, people come into shul is generally more tired than when it's a weekday. And that's because whatever, you know, it's Sunday. And I mean, a day like today, you know, we're running around, the activity, something like that. You know, we should take a little rest. It's Erev Yontif. You know, you have to prepare for Yontif, you know, cheesecake, I understand, but, you know. What?
Two kinds.
Two kinds, yeah.
So, my wife makes